morning and welcome to Drive-In Service. We are so thrilled that you're here with us today. So let's worship the Lord together as we enter in this place. Come on, sing it with us.
Salvation, tearing through the dead of night. See the kingdom burst into color at the speed of light. Freedom, shaking up the atmosphere. As the shadows fade into nothing as the day appears.
Singing out beyond the skies.
Beyond the skies above. Love reaching out for us. The everlasting one. To Jesus our God. There's no fear in love and no darkness in his endless light. Beyond the skies above, love reaching out for us. The everlasting one, Jesus our God. Oh, we look to the sun, set our eyes on the sand.
That there is no distance in you, and as we lift your name, Lord, we trust you for the answer that we have need of. Meet us at the point of our need. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
I count on one thing to say, God, he never fails, will not fail me now. You won't fail. same God who never fails, who will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late, just working all things out. You're working all things out.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Come on, bless the Lord this morning. There in your automobile. Come on, give him praise this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that we can worship him this morning? You know, it may not be optimal to be out here in the parking lot, but I'm glad that we can come together and we can worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's still the peace speaker, friend. In the midst of chaos, in the midst of uncertainty, he's still constant. And we want to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. If you weren't here last Sunday in our drive-in service, we kind of worked out a system. One honk is an amen, two is a praise the Lord. So, listen, we're going to make lemonade out of lemons, right? We're going to have a good time. But listen, we do need to pray. We've had several in our church family that have lost loved ones. And, with all the restrictions, it's been very difficult to be there and minister as we are accustomed to doing so. We've prayed and we want to continue praying for those that just need the Holy Spirit to come alongside and to walk with them. We want to pray as this continues to hopefully wind down and find some sort of normalcy again. Let's just pray for those that are just fighting with discouragement and whatever need you might have this morning. Let's just pray together. Father, we are so grateful, Lord, to be able to come together on this parking lot this Sunday morning. Lord, with the sun shining, it just reminds us that, Lord, no matter where we are and what we're going through, Lord, that you are the sun. You are the only begotten of the Father, and that you bring light into our life. You are the light of the world. And I just pray that in the midst of our situation right now, no matter what that is, those that are watching this morning online, those that are here in the parking lot today, Father, I pray that, Lord, that you would just come to bear in that situation right now, those that have lost loved ones. Lord, we continually pray that the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, would come alongside to walk with them, Lord, through this time of loss. Lord, I pray that you would uphold them with your powerful right hand. Father, for those that are battling with some sickness this morning, God, I thank you that you are Jehovah Rapha. You are our healer today. And God, we just believe in divine healing. We pray, God, that you would touch those that need that healing touch, Lord. And again, whether they're on the parking lot this morning or watching via live stream this morning, Lord, I thank you that your presence is there with us wherever we might be. Father, I pray that, Lord, you'll continue to bless our leadership, Lord. I pray, God, that you would give wisdom, Lord, as we move forward. Lord, I just thank you for answered prayer. Provide, Lord, those that need provision this morning. God, I thank you that you are a faithful God. You are a faithful God, and we rejoice in that. Lord, we lift all of these things up to you, believing that we receive what we ask for because we ask it in faith and in the powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We all said amen and amen. Amen. God bless you. I was going to say you may be seated, but you already are. go ahead and turn with me to Isaiah 43. I want to share with you, as you're turning there, let me give you a couple of announcements. We're going to have one more. First of all, Wednesday night, we're going to continue on with our series on Divergent. We're studying the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. And this week we'll be talking about meekness. So I'll be live streaming Wednesday night. Join us. It's a great study. Divergent means to go a different way, a different path. And that's what we've been called to do as believers. We've been called to diverge from a normal, the world's normal, and walk in kingdom perspective. So Wednesday night, we'll be doing that as well. Next Sunday, we're going to do 9 o'clock again right here on the parking lot. I'm meeting with the board a little bit later this morning, and we'll formulate a plan moving forward. I know some of the restrictions have been loosened, and there are churches that are meeting this morning. But we, with an abundance of caution, we want to make sure that we are doing all that we can to protect. I love you and don't want to see anything unnecessary, risks and stuff like that. So we're going to talk about a plan. I will be sending out emails this week that will kind of outline where we go from here. But again, next Sunday morning, one more time, 9 o'clock here. This has been fun. I know that it would be much, much better in our facility, but thank the Lord that we have the opportunity to do this. I do want to kind of give you an update. We have continued to be continue to minister in our community. I know I try to update you every time, but again, please know the church is not static. We are busy doing kingdom business. We have served lunches. We have mowed yards. We have bought groceries or delivered groceries. We continue to offer that service. I lost track of numbers on Friday. I lose track of days. After the storm came through, we had a crew that went out, and I think we worked on 7 properties, mowing or cutting trees and limbs, and helping people recover from the storm. So the church hasn't been static. We've been representing Bethel and the kingdom as best as we know how. I don't know how many meals we've served, maybe close to 3,000 meals. So there's been a lot of work that's been done in the name of Jesus, and so we're so grateful. I want to get right into the word this morning. Again, we want to be very conscientious of time, and I know it'll start getting warm here shortly. That's why we can't do service much more than 1 week, because then it'd be 150 degrees outside, so we don't want that. Anyway, Isaiah chapter 43, I want to read 2 verses of scripture, and my message this morning is simply titled, "You Are Mine." You are mine. Beginning verse number 1, Isaiah writes these words, But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. Listen to what he said. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. Verse 3, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. May the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And I know I say this often when we get to a passage of Scripture, but it really is, because Israel, to me, this is an inspirational passage of Scripture, because Israel, because of their disobedience, was experiencing, and there she goes, a hard time. And that hard time brought on some fear. Let me say that again. Because of the disobedience of the children of Israel, they're going through some very difficult times and some very difficult circumstances. And because of that, again, they were about to endure some hardships that they weren't expecting. And yet through Isaiah, God reminds them, hey, you still belong to me. Through all of the difficulty that they were facing, the captivity, God was reminding them not to fear the hard times. And maybe this is why I'm very fond of this passage this morning, because right now, hard times are all around us. Anyone ever experienced hard times recently? Sure, we go through tough times and uncertain times, and so many people have been thrown for a loop with this pandemic that has brought the world to a screeching halt. I know I say it often, but we're filled with uncertainties and questions, because most of us like routines. We like the normalcy, but I think we've discovered that life is not about normalcy, because we're finding that out right now. Things aren't very normal anymore. I truly believe, and I want to say this, and I want you to hear me. I believe this is the church's finest hour in our lifetime. I know there have been some moves of God. Amen, you can do that. This is our finest hour in our history. But many believers, because of what's going on, are paralyzed by fear, the fear of the unknown. I love what Jesus said in Luke, "Behold, I give you power." I love that word, power. I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. You know, Jesus uses an interesting Greek word there. That Greek word exousia. Exousia means authority. And so Jesus is telling us that I'm giving you authority over the power of the enemy. See, that's a great thing for us to understand, is that we're not under his feet. He's under our feet. He doesn't have dominion over us. We have dominion over him. And Satan didn't defeat Jesus at Calvary, by the way. He just merely bruised his heel, right? He didn't defeat Christ at Calvary. Even with that knowledge, so many Christians are incarcerated in this debilitating place that prevents them from serving God in the fullness of joy. Listen, this whole time that we've been serving and working and outreaching in our community, it's been such a delight. It's been such a joy to meet people that some of them have no hope whatsoever. You know, things happened, the pandemic, all the restrictions were enacted, and it seemed like the country came to a grinding halt. And people just set in, panic set in. I told you last week that we know this because people went into the stores and they began to panic buy everything they could imagine. And some of us even, as I said, I got caught up in it as well. I went and bought stuff that I won't ever eat because I thought, you know what, I might need that in a crunch. We just panic because of the unknown and the uncertainties. And so there are many people that are not serving in the fullness of joy. Discouragement has gripped so many believers because of the uncertainty of our time. Do you know what discouragement is? It's the lack of courage. Discouragement is the loss of courage or the loss of confidence. Dejection is another word that means the same thing. We become dejected when we are faced with overwhelming odds and the unknowns. And I've seen many, many believers whose lives are in spiritual, emotional, physical, and financial disarray simply because they have lost courage. They have lost confidence. They are discouraged in their walk with the Lord. They're discouraged in their prayer life. They're discouraged in their relationships. They're discouraged in the family dynamics. They're constantly fighting this battle, and so they're so worn down that they're ready to cave in. And I know that there are people that have been dealing with some really difficult things over the last 6 weeks through this pandemic or 8 weeks through this pandemic, and they're at their wits' end. They're at that place where they're ready to throw the towel in. I'm sure you remember the name Bob Ross. Bob Ross had a television show, The Joy of Painting. And if you ever enjoyed, I know Mayor Kane talked about his love for art on Wednesday night live streaming. If you've seen the show, then you know one of his favorite sayings is that there are no mistakes in painting, only happy accidents. Only happy accidents. Now, and his point is this. Now, if you accidentally put a blob of orange paint in the middle of a mountain scene, he would say this. Well, just incorporate that happy accident into the painting and make it part of the masterpiece. And here's what we do. As we try to make a masterpiece of our lives, we all find out quickly that there are many accidents in life, some happy and some not. There are things that happen to us. Sometimes the sun comes up and we're excited about the brightness of the day. And then sometimes the storm clouds roll in and the rain comes and the storm comes. But it's not so happy. Sometimes our lives are moving along at a good clip and things are going well. We see our dreams. We're seeing our dreams come to pass. We're achieving our goals. And at that time, it seems like there's nothing that could go wrong. Nothing could derail. In fact, I can just think just a few months ago, back in January, when we talked about our dreams and aspirations of what we wanted. 2020, perfect vision. I could really go into that one, but I won't. But we talked about perfect vision and how we wanted our dreams to flourish and how we wanted to accomplish things that we haven't quite been able to accomplish in the past. And everything's going along at a pretty good clip, and then out of nowhere, we're blindsided. We're blindsided. Our lives start spinning out of control, and we lose someone close to us, or our health begins to unravel. We have problems in our relationship. We have job situations, things that become very unstable. A pandemic shuts the world down around us, or whatever it is. It's one of those curveballs that sometimes we experience in life. Out of nowhere, it just happens. And when this happens, a lot of people slip into the prison of discouragement. They lose confidence. They lose courage. And if you stay in that prison long enough, and I know I'm speaking to somebody this morning because, listen, there's a lot that has changed since the mid-March. There's a lot of things that have changed in our country. There's a lot of things that have changed in the world. There's a lot of things that have changed everywhere, in your family perhaps. And again, if you stay in that prison too long, you'll eventually give up. And my question is that what God wants us to do? When we get to rock bottom, does God want us to give up? Does God want us to throw our hands up in the air and say, you know what, que sera, sera, whatever will be? I don't think so. Should we quit? Should we give up? Should we throw in the towel? Listen, it might be tempting to do that when you're at wit's end. It might be tempting to just kind of pack up and walk away. But listen to me, I can assure you this morning, God has a better plan. God has a better plan this morning. You know, one of the most powerful statements Jesus made was when he said this in Luke chapter 4. He was telling everybody what he came to do as the Messiah. And one of the things that he said is that God had anointed him to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives. Listen, I want you to hear me this morning. Jesus can and will put back the broken pieces of our lives if we'll give him an opportunity. Amen. He will take the tattered, torn parts of your life and He will weave together a beautiful tapestry if we will just give that to Him. He will take those tattered pieces of our lives and make that beautiful masterpiece. One of my favorite stories, and I know I use that often about Scripture, but I love the story in 1 Samuel chapter 30. David and his mighty men come home to Ziklag, and you know the story well. They come home, and what they find in their home is such a devastating loss. Their city was burned to the ground. Their family was taken into captivity to be slaves by the enemy. It was so devastating and so discouraging that the Bible says that these mighty men, these valiant warriors of David, sat down and they cried until they had no more tears to shed. Listen, have you been in that place recently where you look at the situation that you're facing right now? It's daunting. You don't understand how you're going to get around this situation. You don't understand how you're going to work through this situation. And maybe, like David's men, you sit down and you cry until you have no more tears to cry. The Bible says that they wept until they could weep no longer. And after they wept and shed all of those tears, the Bible said they became angry. They became angry at the leader. They became angry at David. And the Bible says they were debating among themselves whether or not to stone and kill David. So how does David handle this? How is he able to encourage the people to overcome such a devastating loss? Again, all of their possessions were gone. The city was burned and the families were taken. 1 Samuel 30 verse 6 simply says this, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord." I love that. David encouraged himself in the Lord. He didn't sit down and wring his hands in depression and despair. He didn't try to hide in fear. Instead, the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. And I know what you're thinking right now. You're saying, "Pastor, you know, how can I encourage myself in the Lord when I'm so discouraged right now? I mean, here I am looking at the 1st of May and I'm so far away from where I wanted to be when January rolled around. How can I encourage myself in the Lord when I've given my best and it just seems like I'm not, I take two steps forward and end up three steps back. How can I encourage myself in the Lord?" Well, I think this is why I love this text this morning, because Isaiah gives us three promises to help us encourage ourselves in the Lord. The first promise he gives to us is this. Number one, you belong to God. Don't lose sight of that, friend. You belong to God. Listen to what he says in verse number one. "But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." You don't get much better than that. See, Isaiah begins by telling us that God, and I want you to understand this, God is laying claim through the prophet. He's laying claim on us. Why? Because number one, God created us. And number two, because He redeemed us. God says, "You know what? I created you. I redeemed you. You belong to me." Listen, no matter how big the mountain is, no matter how difficult the circumstances are, you cannot negate the fact that if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you belong to Him. And there's not anything that can take you out of His possession. We belong to God. Jesus died on the cross to redeem us and to lay claim to us. Scripture says that we were bought at a price. We belong to Him. One of the best ways to fight discouragement is to recognize to whom we belong. Listen, the world may have a small opinion of us. The world may tell us that we're no good, baby, we're no good. But if you'll remember that you've been washed and you've been purchased at a price and you belong to God, it doesn't matter what everybody else says. Just remember that in that discouragement. It will help fight that. Listen, don't make the mistake of thinking that God's commitment to you is only as strong as your commitment to Him. Well, that's a mouthful right there. Don't think that God's commitment to you is only as strong as your commitment to Him. You know why? Because you and I fail Him oftentimes. We fail Him. At times our faith is going to be weak. The good news is God doesn't change His mind about us near as often as we change our mind about Him. See, you belong to Him. He has inscribed you on the palm of His hand. And listen to me, no devil in hell can take you out. No matter what comes our way. I love what Paul said. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us. No matter what comes our way, we belong to God. God is for us, not against us. Sometimes we go through hard times and we're tempted to think, well, you know, if I'm not a very good Christian, or I don't have enough faith, or, you know, I don't have great faith, why would God help me? I've only been a Christian a few weeks. Why would God help me? I've let Him down so many times. Why would God help me? Listen, God says, you're mine. You belong to me. In Acts, when Stephen is being stoned, the Bible says that he looks up and he sees the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. You know what? When we're going through the rough patches, I believe he gets off his seat and he stands there to root for us. The Bible says that he is our advocate, intercessor. He's ever lives to make intercession for us. Listen, God doesn't turn his back on us. When circumstances are beyond our control and our lives are spiraling, he doesn't say, well, you're getting what you deserve. No. Friend, listen to me. No. You belong to him. If you're going to encourage yourself in the Lord, then remind yourself over and over again that on that whatever day you were, I talk to people all the time that say, you know what, I can remember the day, I can remember the hour when I was born again. Well, you know what? Remember that. Remember the time that you walked down the aisle of the church and you knelt at an altar, if you stood there with a prayer partner and you prayed the sinner's prayer and you asked Christ to come in and forgive you of your sin, or wherever that happened to be, remember that, because that is the day that he took you out of the kingdom of darkness and he put you into the kingdom of light. That is the day that you became his. And it doesn't change. Encourage yourself in the Lord, knowing that you belong to him. Number two, he protects us every step of the way. Look at verse number 2 here. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. What is he telling us? Well, I'll tell you what he's not telling us. He's not saying just because we are born again Christians that we are exempt from hard times. He's not saying that just because we name the name of Christ that everything is always going to be to our liking. Isaiah doesn't promise us that we will be saved from the fire or the flood. In fact, he does the opposite. He admits that we will experience at times circumstances beyond our control. But he adds, God will protect us through them all. See, God never said that life was going to be easy. In fact, over and over in Scripture, we can find Jesus oftentimes said, hey, in the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I've overcome. See, he never said that life was going to be easy or that the battles that we face are going to be a cakewalk. In fact, Peter, if you remember how Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, here's what Peter does. He describes the stuff that you and I go through. He describes it as fiery trials. And then he says, hey, think it not strange when you go through those things. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though something unusual is happening to you. See, sometimes we look at the flood and the fire and we feel as though God has deserted us. Is that where you are this morning? Again, has this pandemic unleashed such havoc in your life that you sit there with questions and you're staring at major issues and you think, God, where were you? I'm in the middle of the fire. I'm in the middle of the flood. Where are you? And sometimes we look at those things and we feel as though God has deserted us. Not so. Not so. The fires and the floods, they're evidence that we're human. It's evidence that we're human. Everyone has problems. Again, I'm not minimizing what you're going through. Everyone has problems. Jesus said it rains on the just and the unjust. Paul told the Corinthians that no temptation has come against you but such as common to man. Again, I'm not minimizing what you're going through and I'm not minimizing the fear that you might have, but I do want you to see that there have been others that have walked that journey. That's why the Bible says we're to comfort one another with the same comfort that we ourselves have been comforted with. We've gone through some fires and we've gone through some rivers and we have gone through the floods and we come out on the other side because God is faithful. The word is immutable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God brought me through it yesterday, He'll bring me through it today. If He provided yesterday, He'll provide for me today. That's the promise that we have of the Father. Listen, I want you to see that others have gone through, and if they've gone through and come out, you will as well. David and his army, again, lost everything in terms of their land, their family, their possessions. But in the middle of all of that, David, the Bible says, encouraged himself in the Lord. Why, how did he do that? He drew from something that the enemy could not take away. I want you to hear this. See, David faced these situations he could see with his eyes. It was very tangible. The city was burning. The family was gone. He could see it. He could smell it. The men had rebelled. They had become angry. They cried till they could cry no longer. So where was David going to find the ability to encourage himself in the Lord? He had to go on something inside of him, something internal. David wrote in Psalm 138, verse 3, "In the day when I cried, you answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul." See, that's how David did it. David remembered all of the times that God had been there for him. When the lion came, God was with him. When the bear came, God was with him. When Saul was after him, God was with him. When Goliath stood him down and said, "I'm going to take you out," God was with him. And so looking at that giant situation in his life right then and there, he said, "You know what? In the day that I cried, you answered me." I'm telling you this morning that if you're going through some difficult times this morning and you wonder how it's all going to turn out, go ahead and pull something from the deep well that's within and know that you belong to God and that He's promised to fight your battles and to bring you through all of the stuff that you're going through this morning. And when you cry out, go ahead and cry out to Him, because God will answer and He'll strengthen you. That's the promise that we have. It was David who also wrote in Psalm 23, verse 4, that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because you're with me. One of my favorite translations is, even though I walk through the deep, dark valleys of life, I'll not fear because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So friend, I want to tell you this morning, encourage yourself in the Lord by understanding that God will protect you every step of the way. And the last thing is this. Nothing, number three, the last one, nothing can stop you from reaching your potential. Listen, verse number 7, it says it like this. "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I have made him." I was talking to someone yesterday and we were talking about fear. And I said, you know, I can remember years ago, I traveled quite a bit, and I've never been afraid of flying. I enjoy flying, but I'm such a family man. I love my family, and I can remember when my children were small, and I'd go on a trip and go overseas somewhere, and I can remember in my mind the enemy would plant that seed that say bye to them because you'll not see them again. And there would be so much anxiety and fear that would grip me as I would say bye to my family, thinking this might be the last time that I'll ever see them. And it became an issue. You know, I still went and did what I was called to do, but it became an issue. And I remember reading one time that God has an assignment for us, for me individually, for you individually. And that I'm alive because I've not finished my race. And I started thinking that I can't die before my time, before I finish what God has in store for me, I can't pass away before what He created me for is fulfilled. And it totally changed the way I look at things. I no longer am gripped by fear of stepping out, because I know that God has a plan, and God, nothing can stop me from reaching my potential. See, this verse number 7, this verse is a promise for those who belong to God that He will fulfill His purpose through you. Listen, you may feel like you're going under, but I promise you that God called you and He created you with an assignment in mind, and nothing can stop God's plan from fruition in your life if you'll just keep going. See, the difference between a winner and a loser is a loser stays down when a winner gets up one more time. Just keep getting up. Oh, you might be knocked down, and right now you might be flat on your face. Go ahead and get up and dust yourself off, because God will complete the work. He said, "He who began a good work in us will be faithful to bring it to completion." Listen, every one of us who have been born again, we've been born again to bring glory to God. Every one of us has unlimited potential as we journey through this life. You've heard me say this a number of times. Every one of us here have been born on purpose, with purpose. Regardless of the circumstances of your birth, regardless of the circumstances of where you are right now, you were born on purpose, with purpose. There is so much that God wants to do in and through us. But oftentimes, that potential is negated because we allow discouragement to hold us in the prison of our minds. I'm going to wrap this up. Listen, the difference between a believer and a non-believer is that when tragedy strikes, and it will, my friend, the non-believer is sidelined. The non-believer is sidelined. Their hopes and their dreams are dashed. Their purposes in life seemingly have evaporated and gone. But for the believer, this is where we're different. This is the divergent that I'm talking about. This is where we diverge from the norm. See, for the believer, we can keep going, knowing that it is not the hand that we're dealt that determines our ability to reach our potential. It is faith in a living God who desires to make us a masterpiece for His glory. Amen. Did you get that this morning? See, it's not the hand that we're dealt. Listen, I'd trade my hand. I'd like a better hand. You know, we get weary with things that go on. But it's the hand that we're dealt. But that's not the key. It's our faith in a living God that enables us and empowers us to keep going when everything in us tells us to quit. So where are you this morning as I close? Where are you this morning? Are you incarcerated in that prison of discouragement? Have you been paralyzed by fear and depression and discouragement? Have you lost confidence? Have you lost courage? Jesus came to set you free. And He wants you free to live to your potential. You belong to Him. If you don't get anything I say this morning, watching online, here this morning, you belong to Him. If you are a child of God, if you've been washed and accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, if you're born again, you belong to Him. And there's not a devil powerful enough to take you out. Not. Won't happen. You can be assured, because you belong to Him, that God will empower you to face the floods and the fires that come your way. What does that mean? It means when the doctor says it's inoperable, you can still face it. It means when the pink slip is handed out at work and you wonder how the bills are going to be paid, it means trusting Jehovah Jireh, the provider, who said, take no thought about tomorrow. Like I preached last week, if our Father takes care of and notices the birds of the air and the grass, the lilies of the field, then how much more does He pay attention to us? Listen, you can be assured that He will cover you and He'll care for you when those difficult days come, even pandemics, friend. Let me read this last verse and we're going to pray. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, again, I already referenced the fact that Peter talked about the fiery trial. But here's what he says. In this you greatly rejoice. Seems impossible. Seems difficult to do so in the middle of a pandemic or in the middle of a chaotic situation. But he goes on and says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief of all kinds of trials. Did you get that? He's not whitewashing anything. He said, hey, rejoice. You're going through some stuff right now. Go ahead and rejoice in that, even though you're suffering right now. Because here's what he said. These have come so that your faith, being much more valuable than gold or silver, your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. What does that mean? It means if you and I will endure and overcome and keep running our race and finish When we stand before the one to whom we have to do, we'll hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You suffered, but you endured. You were afflicted, but you overcame. You were tried, but you didn't quit. You kept running your race when everything in you said to stop, to quit, to throw in the towel. You kept going. Well done, enter into your reward." Listen, keep going, friend. Those of you that are watching this morning, it's not, again, I'm not minimizing anything that you may be going through. I would never do so. But I want to tell you this morning that he's with us. If Jesus is Lord of your life, you belong to him. If you're not, you need to take care of that, because you can't have promises of the family without being part of the family. He's with you. He'll fight for you. And he'll make sure that you finish your course, your purpose. I want us to pray this morning. And if you're watching, if you're here this morning, and maybe, I know there's no optimum way to do this, because I know you need prayer this morning. How many need prayer here on the parking lot this morning? Amen. I know there are people watching this morning online that need prayer. Listen, maybe you're watching this morning. I'm closing with this altar call. And Jesus is not Lord of your life. As I said, you cannot tap into the benefits of the family without being part of the family. So I want you to pray this prayer this morning. I want you to ask Jesus to come in to your life, be Lord of your life, forgive you of your sin. He'll do that. He'll establish a relationship. He will redeem you, and he'll call you by your name. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised Christ from the dead, that we'll be saved. I want you to do that this morning before you, sometime, preferably right now. In fact, I want to say a prayer. I want to lead you in a prayer, and then I'm going to pray for everybody here, and then I'll do the final blessing. If you're watching today, or maybe you're here and you need to rededicate your life, I want you to pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for giving your life for me. I recognize right now that I'm lost. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me and make me new. I commit myself to you. I give you everything that I have, everything that I am, everything I ever will be. I give it to you right now. I ask you to take my life, the torn, tattered pieces of my life, the broken pieces, and put them back together as only you can. So today I confess you as Lord and Savior of my life. And I recognize right now that Hebrews 9:27 says, "It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment." So Father, today I confess you, Lord of my life. My name is written right now in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'm ready to meet you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, amen. That's, if you're watching, when we do that, we pray for people. We celebrate their birth or rededication, and we're doing that with the honking of the horn right now. So thank you so much. Now I want to pray for everyone here today, and then we'll do our blessing. Again, I love you so much. Thank you for coming out. Again, one more Sunday we'll do this, and then we'll find some level of normalcy moving back into a regular schedule, but we're going to meet and figure that out. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for just being Jesus with skin on. None of the ministry could have happened without you. And the people that were touched because of your faithfulness. Father, I love you today, and I thank you that we belong to you. I thank you this morning as we've been able to join together, and Lord, just know that we belong to you. That you fight our battles, that you go ahead of us and make the crooked way straight. Lord, we rejoice. Those that prayed that prayer this morning, maybe for the first time or an act of rededication, we celebrate with them. Lord, we celebrate with them, Lord, because that's where it all begins. And Father, I pray for those this morning that maybe feel like, Lord, they've walked away or they feel alone and isolated from you because of things that they've done, decisions that they've made. I pray, Father, right now that you would remind them that you lay claim to them twice. You created them and you've redeemed them. They belong to you. So I pray in the midst of that chaos that they're in right now, in the midst of that those decisions that they need to make, the heartache, the disappointment, Lord, remind them again that that they belong to you and that you're going to come through for them. You're going to take care of them. May they encourage themselves in you, knowing that we're never outside of your reach. Father, I pray a blessing upon every person here, those that are watching this morning. I pray, Father, you'll keep each one safe, healthy, and well. Lord, continue to bless the church. May the church arise. Let the church arise in 2020, even amid the pandemic, Lord, and shine like we've never done before. Lord, may lives be totally changed eternally because of, Lord, the church stepping up to be what you've called us to be. I love and bless each one now in the mighty name of Jesus. I want to pray for you this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bless you with the promises of God, which are yea and amen. The Holy Spirit make you healthy and strong in body, mind, and spirit to move you in faith and expectancy. May God's angels be with you to protect and keep you. May God's grace be upon your home that may be a sanctuary of rest and renewal, a haven of peace where sounds of joy and laughter grace its walls. God, give you success and prosperity in your business and places of labor as you acknowledge and obey the imperative of Scripture concerning the tithe. God, give you spiritual strength to overcome the evil one and avoid temptation. God's grace be upon you to fulfill your dreams and visions. May goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your long life. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you. I love you so much.